We're talking about what you're thinking about. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Okay, so I went to the Women's March. That is one of the local marches here in Southern California, in San Diego. And I have to tell you, I thought about it on Friday, and I shared with you, my assumption was this. There was going to be a stark contrast between the Women's March of 2020, this weekend, and the Women's March of 2017, the first one. The difference would be this. Back in 2017, a vast majority of women who weren't even pro-abortion wanted to be at that march. Many marched believing that they were there just to be pro-woman. Many women mourned the fact that they didn't get the opportunity to participate. Now, as the years have gone by, people understand, ooh, actually some of the key pillars of the Women's March are A, unfettered access to abortion, LGBTQ rights, so-called reproductive rights, including specifically contraception. So my guess was people who were at the Women's March would be there in smaller numbers, but they would know why they were there. That is really for abortion. And so I showed up at the Women's March, and I wanted to interview people, me being from a completely neutral perspective. Why are you here? Not only did I ask them, why are you here, but given their responses that they were there because of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, because of the Supreme Court, in opposition to the possible election of a pro-life president, being President Donald Trump, they were there for all of these reasons. It all centered around abortion. And so my question came back saying, well, it sounds as if you're very concerned about Roe versus Wade being overturned. And they said, absolutely. That was why they were there. So I'm going to share with you a little bit some of the audio and the conversations I had with people about what Roe v. Wade is, the access to it, the fact that it makes abortion legal through all 9 months of women's pregnancy. But I want to share with you a little bit about the atmosphere of the Women's March first. I'll share with you, everyone was completely polite to me in the conversations I had. I think everyone assumes that they were fighting and angry. Well, they weren't. They thought they were among their own people, and so they were there in their safety net. So there wasn't that level of hostility that some might have expected. Now, second, the truth of the matter is they're still wearing those nasty hats. I could not believe it. I mean, I will not say that half of the people had those nasty hats on, but I would say a good quarter of the women had those nasty hats on. And I'm talking young and old. Boomer down to your Gen X had nasty hats. And I really just wanted to ask someone about their nasty hat. I guess I didn't really think about it. And I probably couldn't have remained neutral asking that question, to be really honest. So I didn't go there. But next time, if there's a next time, maybe I will. Now, at the same time, I posted images. I'll post more. I posted a lot this weekend on my story, but a lot of the photos continue to be full of nasty signs that you just wouldn't want to read. And you really think, couldn't we have better marketing here? Couldn't we have a better message to share with people other than talking about our body parts so vulgarly that we ultimately are objectifying ourselves? That's what I saw. Now, the other dimension that was fascinating to me from being at the Women's March this weekend was the leadership. So they actually only expected about 300 people in San Diego at their march. Well, about 10 minutes before it's all supposed to start, there's supposed to be some opening remarks before the march. The organizer, who I'm just going to throw it out there, was a very condescending boomer who snapped at people to get in line, who snapped at people when people said they couldn't hear her and she yelled at them to move closer. And she said, well, I expected more people, and if everyone's not here, I'm just going to cancel the march. So I just want to let you know, I may just call the march in 10 minutes. She was very, very aggressive. And I'm thinking, lady, if anyone heard you right now, and that was their invitation to come, they would be out of here. Well, 5 minutes before we're supposed to start, she comes back on her bullhorn again and said, I think I'm just going to call the march. I'll let you know in 5 minutes. Stay tuned. Then your stereotypical pro-abortion looking millennial, I'm just going to say it's a total stereotype, social justice warrior comes marching up next to her, and she's like trembling. She's so upset. And she says, well, if she's not going to march with us, I will lead us, okay? And then all of a sudden, the Women's March participants, maybe 150 or so, start cheering. Okay, so the next thing you know, they're in this little powwow, and they're discussing what's going to happen. And let's just say the condescending boomer is talking about just leaving. I'm not kidding. This was totally entertainment for me. So next thing you know, the boomer takes off, and now the new stereotypical millennial social justice warrior gets up there on her bullhorn that she brought, and she shares, okay, so I'm going to lead you in the march. We're still going to do this. However, I just really need to like gather my thoughts and emotions. I just need a few minutes. So just give me 10 or 20 minutes and then I'll have some remarks to share with you before we start. This is real. This is real life. This was the Women's March. Now, next thing you know, Xena Warrior Princess comes up. She comes running up to her and she says, I can help you. I can speak if you want. I'm comfortable speaking in front of a crowd. Okay, I'm sorry. I have to describe to you what Xena Warrior Princess looked like. She was basically wearing underwear with lacy things dangling down. Like, she was in lingerie, okay? This was the representation of the Women's March. We started with a condescending boomer, a stereotypical, emotionally triggered social justice warrior pro-abortion individual. Then we have Xena Warrior Princess in lingerie. And she's the one who gives the opening remarks. I have to set this context for you because the emotional atmosphere was unbelievable. The lack of leadership, and in fact, the lack of ownership and self-confidence was out the door. And this is one of the predictions I made to you on Friday. Not even a prediction, it was a reminder. Remember, those who support the Women's March and those who are there are often very post-abortive individuals. People who are so emotionally wrapped up with the issue of abortion. This was specifically why I went in this circumstance neutral, because I wanted to hear what they had to say. But I also knew if we pricked the pair a little too quickly, it could implode and it could turn into a hostile environment because emotions were running high. So I want to share with you now some of the audio from being there at the Women's March now that we've set the atmosphere. So the first few women I interviewed, it was actually three generations of women represented. The grandmother, the adult daughter, and the now 18-year-old granddaughter. Now, when interviewing the mother of the youngest girl, we were talking about whether or not Roe v. Wade should be considered again. And we're talking about how it's legal through all 9 months of a woman's pregnancy. Listen to this. If Roe v. Wade is reconsidered, do you think that there should be any sort of restriction placed on abortion?
I don't know that I have the information to answer that because I'm not a medical specialist, but I do believe that women should have the right to choose, and there are various different reasons that a woman might choose to enter pregnancy at any point. We can't say that we're going to we care about life, but then we only care about certain lives, and a life in utero should not have more value than a black man on the street who's getting shot down for nothing. So I guess I have to look at it like that.
I'm sorry, but Floyd has nothing to do with this. Can I just say that? Someone who's been shot on the street has nothing to do with us talking about abortion in this instance. So let's just set that aside for a moment. Do you notice the fact that she can't even answer, okay, if we reconsider abortion, I even said before this, Roe v. Wade's legal through all 9 months of women's pregnancy. Do you think at any point we should change that? That there should maybe be restrictions later on? No, they want unfettered access. But she's not willing to give specific medical examples of how that would be necessary in a second or third trimester. Almost everyone I spoke to wanted it accessible in the second and third trimester. However, they tried to give these big picture crisis type of situations where abortion would be necessary, yet they couldn't really put their finger on one. Now, here's what's interesting. I want you to hear from her millennial, or not even millennial, Gen Z daughter, who's 18 years old, is able to vote now. Why is she there? Listen to this. You're a third generation marcher. Why are you here today?
Well, this is my first year that I'm able to vote, so I just feel like it's really cool that I have my mom and my grandma that are like encouraging me to come out and march and like practice my civil rights. So I think it's really important. I also like just feel like my generation, like, we want to change things, and so I think that it's important to get involved early, so that's just what I'm trying to do.
This makes me ask the question, what kind of examples are we giving to young women? Because she's clearly inspired by her mother and her grandmother, which is an incredible thing, but what type of inspiration should a young woman receive today? Because she looks to the women who are older than her. And she even says, my generation wants to change things. So she's looking to her formation to guide what she will change. And this brings up an important point. Many young women only have the models of social media and the teachers they have in their education system. And those are the people who they're listening to. Now, if they have their parents who are more involved, which isn't very common in today's culture, they're going to follow often what those parents give as a model and example for them. And so it's a reminder that what we show as a model of femininity and women in the culture is so important because these young people want to make a change in the world. Now, you're listening to Trending with Timory. I was at the Women's March this weekend interviewing people. One of the questions I asked had to do with access to abortion. Now, this woman insisted that in order to be a citizen, she needed that access.
Our sisters are here to preserve a fundamental right that without access to abortion and family planning, I won't feel like a real citizen of this country. I will feel like African Americans before civil rights. And so I think that if I had to choose one, that would be it.
Are you kidding me? Do you know what African Americans went through before having rights in this nation? The impact of segregation? The fact that even before that, a person of color was considered 3/5 of a human being? These people were tortured and murdered. I'm sorry, but you not having access to abortion does not mean that you are less of a citizen. It's incredibly naive and narrow-minded. And this comes back to my last point about what sort of role models are we showing to women today? Because women are being fed the lie that they need abortion in order to be educated, have a career, or plan their own family. That's a lie that women are being told. You can't be a woman unless you have, quote, reproductive rights, abortion and contraception on demand. But what's sad is that with this, we're saying you have to be a neutered version of yourself, ladies, in order to participate in society. And I think that that's a closer comparison to a civil rights issue than someone not having access to abortion. In fact, women are becoming more the slave by being told they have to neuter their bodies and kill their children in order to be a functioning member of society, in order to be a citizen. And so what should our message be to people who wish they could support the Women's March? You don't need abortion or contraception in order to be equal with a man, to have a career, be educated, or have a family. Women really do deserve better than the lasting physical, emotional, and psychological impact that abortion has. We need to remember to offer resources for post-abortion healing because this is who represents the Women's March. So be sure to recommend resources such as Rachel's Hope and Healing, which we'll share in the show notes today. Just head over to relevantradio.com/trending.